Acts chapter 16. And he came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there called Timothy, the son of a Jewess, a Jewish sister, who believed. She was a Christian, but his father was a Greek or a Gentile. And Timothy was well reported of by the brothers that were at Lystra and Iconium, and Paul wanted him to go with him, so he took him and circumcised him, because of the Jews that were in those areas, for they all knew that his father was a Gentile. Now, we've just read in Acts chapter 15 that actually Christians didn't need to be circumcised. So this is an example of doing something that you don't have to do, just so that you can, as Paul says, be all things to all men. So that the Jews to whom they were preaching would have no excuse to say, huh, this man's not even circumcised and he's teaching us. And often it's like that in life, that maybe you don't have to do something, but we want to by all means, again as Paul says later, to by all means win somebody for Christ. And so therefore we've got to be careful how we present ourselves. So he did this. And I guess he would have been a bit weak and a bit sick for some time after that, because you remember what happened when the adult men in Shechem were circumcised. Then Jacob's sons attacked them and killed them while they were still weak. So they went on after that throughout the cities, delivering them the decrees to keep which had been given by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Now, the fact the churches increased daily in number means that people were baptized every day. It doesn't mean that they sort of left the baptisms to once a week or once a month. They did it daily because they believed that he that believes and is baptized will be saved. They saw the importance of it. And they went throughout the whole area of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And when they came to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So how this happened, that the Spirit stopped them going to Bithynia and going into Asia to preach, we don't know. It could be that the boat that was going to take them, that, I don't know, the wind blew its mast off, or something happened, or God worked in such a way that stopped them going there. But when they came to Troas, a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there was a man of Macedonia standing, begging him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we tried to go into Macedonia. So, immediately, there they were. The Spirit had stopped them preaching in Asia and Bithynia, and now they're being told, "Go to Macedonia." And so immediately they followed. And that's where we've got to take a lesson, that we must immediately follow where we are led. Because it says, they assuredly concluded that God had called them to preach the gospel to the Macedonians. So we set sail from Troas and we made a straight course to Samothrace. Now that means the wind was blowing directly in the direction that they were wanting to go, which meant they went very quickly. And seeing that the wind is like the Spirit, that's really an evidence that God really wanted them to do it. The wind blew them directly on their journey. And the next day we came to Neapolis and thence to Philippi, a city of Macedonia, which was a Roman colony. And we were in this city for some days, and on the Sabbath day we went out to the river, where we gathered that there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come there. So it would seem that maybe these women were either Jews or they were proselytes. That is, they were trying to be Jews, although they were Gentiles. And they didn't maybe have a synagogue, or for some reason weren't allowed into the synagogue. And so these women used to go down to the riverside and pray there on a Sabbath day. And there was a woman there called Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, one that worshipped God, and she heard us, whose heart the Lord opened to give heed to the things which were spoken by Paul. So the Lord Jesus opens the hearts of people to understand the gospel. So part of it is, I'm afraid, depends upon us. It's our duty to believe. But on the other hand, if it was all down to us, then it would be of works. And so there is this other aspect, this other hand of God, which is in our lives, opening our hearts. And if we all ask ourselves the question, well, what am I doing here, what I am in my life, believing in God and believing in Jesus, when the majority of people in this world over time have not done so? Well, all we can say is that God was in this, and this was the Lord Jesus opening your heart. And when she was baptized, she and her family, so it's sort of taken as assumed that you hear the gospel and sure, immediately you're baptized. When she was baptized and her family, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay there." And we agreed, and it happened. As we were going to the place of prayer, so they used to go back to this place by the riverside, that there was a girl who had a spirit of divination. That is, she appeared to have some spirit of some power in her that made her tell the future. And she was owned by some men, and they made lots of money through her. So this girl was maybe not mentally completely healthy. And she kept following Paul. And she cried out saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God, who show to you the way of salvation." And she did this for many days. But Paul was really upset about this, and he turned and said, "I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And the spirit came out immediately. But when her masters saw that the hope of their prophet was gone, they laid hold on Paul and Silas, and they dragged them into the marketplace unto the rulers. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, are upsetting our city and are asking us to believe in things which is not lawful for us to believe, being Romans." And so the crowd rose up against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they'd laid many stripes upon them, they threw them into prison, charging the prison keeper, the jailer, to keep them very safely. Now that meant that if they escaped, the prison keeper would have to be killed. So the prison keeper, having received such a charge, put them into the inner prison, and he made their feet fast in the stocks. That would have been like sort of wooden or metal chains were put on them, very roughly, I'm sure, so there was no chance they could escape. And at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. So how amazing that they were singing hymns to God. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and all the doors were opened, everyone's bands were loosed. And the prison keeper, who woke up, seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and was about to kill himself, as he knew that he was going to have to be killed anyway if the prisoners had all escaped. He imagined that the prisoners had all escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." And he called for lights and jumped in, and trembling for fear, fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Gentlemen, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your family." And they spoke the word of the Lord Jesus unto him with all that were in his family. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his immediately. So he washed them of the stripes and beatings that he'd given them, and then they washed him because they baptized him. That's rather lovely. And he brought them up into his house and put food before them and rejoiced greatly with all his family, believing in God. So the gospel is pretty simple, because they preached it to him and his family just in a few hours in the middle of an earthquake that night. But when it was day, the magistrates sent their messengers saying, let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told this to Paul. He said, the magistrates have sent to release you, so you can go in peace. But Paul said to them, they've beaten us publicly when we were uncondemned, when we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now do they seek to throw us out secretly? No, let them come themselves and bring us out. And the messengers reported these words to the magistrates, and they were frightened when they heard that they were Roman citizens, because they weren't supposed to treat Roman citizens like that. And so they came themselves and begged them. And when they brought them out, they asked them to please leave the city. They went out of the prison and went into the house of Lydia. And when they'd seen the brothers and comforted them, they departed. Well, I don't know quite how we're to read that. It could be that Paul was really just difficult and he wanted to score a point. Or it could be that he was thinking, well, I'm going to leave here, but I'm leaving Lydia and her family and the prison keeper and his family behind as the basis of a church here. I want to make sure that they actually are not going to be persecuted and beaten up. So it's as if he kind of really emphasizes the point that the local authorities in that city had really done wrong. And he's just saying, look, I know you did wrong and I'm not taking it any further, but I think the implication was, don't you hurt my friends. Because when they tell him to please leave the city, he sort of says, yeah, nah, not straight away, my friend. Because he goes into the house of Lydia. And when he's encouraged the brothers there, then he left. So with all these things, as you read the Bible, you never quite know how to take some of it. But it's there written in the way it is so that we might think about it.